Blog Talk Radio.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice, fair use, successful crowdfunding, how to ask for music rights, and what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. Our guest, Corky Kessler, Esquire, is a leading film attorney who works for Deutsch, Levy, and Engel. He discusses legal issues, marketing and distribution of films, and has extensive experience in the entertainment industry on a worldwide basis. Corky regularly speaks on the business and legal aspects of feature film development, including tax incentives. And Carol, I understand Corky's been a generous donor to the Roy Dean Grant for many years.
Yes, he has, Claire. Corky, thank you so much for joining us and for your daily support of independent filmmakers.
Carol, I can only tell you that meeting you was one of my high points in my career because you are the best advocate for independent filmmakers that I've ever met, and your foundation is one of the most wonderful foundations that I've ever worked with.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for those kind words. Oh, well, we're going to have a good show today. We want to talk about the Jobs Act, and I know you're coming to L.A. and what that's about. Funding films is the priority. But I want everyone to know who's listening that they can call us at 646-716-8600 and ask Corky any questions you want. Now, let's get started with the Jobs Act, because I know it was enacted in 2012, and they promised us a boon for crowdfunding. And how is this supposed to help filmmakers, Corky?
Well, okay, first of all, it became official with the IRS and the SEC, who passed judgment on it in July of 2013. So when it got registered in the federal registry in September of 2013, it was official. It started to be actively official as of that date of September 2013. So it helps now any business, which includes filmmaking or television, any business, if they want to go out publicly to solicit, market, and advertise their investment documents, they no longer need brokers to publicly do that, which they would have to have under the state and federal SEC rules in the past.
Okay.
Now, every state has to amend theirs because they can't prohibit it anymore. The federal trumps it. So now you can publicly go out, solicit, market, and advertise your investment documents. Online, social marketing, in newspapers, in magazines, it was prohibited since the inception of the SEC. Now it's not. Now, you have to have a private placement memorandum, and you have to have your LLC documents, and for the major part of it, you have to only go after accredited investors, and there has to be some due diligence in verifying the accredited investors to be such. The other part of the Crowdfunding Job Act of 2012 had to do with you can raise up to $1 million in inequity, not crowdfunding as you know it through the various channels, but from an investment. You can raise up to $1 million and you can have both unaccredited and accredited, but you need to go to a third-party authorized company to have this money pass through. And the SEC has been very slow in their authorizing third parties to be able to take this investment. And the third party will charge a fee and then pass on the balance to the people that are trying to raise money. That's the crowdfunding part. Under what I just spoke about first, it doesn't matter what amount, doesn't matter how high you want to go, but you can only go after accredited investors. In the crowdfunding aspect, you still need a PPM and LLC documents. So it gives you a way to avoid and not have to have brokers. The issue still is, though, even if you can publicly go out and do this, how do you best do it? How do you best go out publicly? How do you get lists? How do you focus on certain sites? How do you best market your investment? And that's for you and your lawyer and your team that you have to decide. But it's a great landscape for you to get money in ways that you could never do before.
Yes, it sounds like it. So basically, it's still the same thing. You need a business outline. You need your PPM. You need the things always that you had before. You need your attorney and a good team in order to do this. Now, so let me go back and ask a few questions about this. Advertise on newspapers and online, so
right.
Where you say you really need a good team to figure out how to advertise and what to say, is that it?
Yeah, you need to, if you're going to spend money to do this, you need to place that money smartly on where you're going to get the best return. Now, at the end of the chairman of the SEC statement, where she ratified this in July of 2013, she said at the end, "This is like the Wild Wild West," quote, unquote. And you could have charlatans, people that are just trying to raise money online and putting their investment documents, but there's no project. There's fraud. There's misrepresentation. So what I do is I differentiate it, because when I've done these and they put it on their site, I've made sure they describe the project, their team, my bio, and who else's bio, that's important, and how we're going to go about doing this. So it stands out differently than just a general solicitation.
All right. That's very important. But this means that you've already started working with filmmakers who are raising money online, right?
In fact, I have two or three that have done this, and it's very much going forward, and it's just one of the avenues. It's not a grand slam, it's not a home run, but it gives the filmmaker the avenue to look at how best to negotiate through financing waters and how to move forward. There are things like gap financing. There are things like pre-sales. I'm hopeful by the end of this year the federal incentives under 181 will come back. If it does, you've got that going for you. So you've got a way that you can do it, and you decide where you're going to film it. Financing is soft costs, too, and hard costs. And, Carol, you know that if you go to Louisiana, it has become the favorite state because it has a 35% incentive, and anybody that comes from out of the country or out of the state to work on a Louisiana film gets 30%. They're not boxed out.
That's fantastic.
It's become the greatest state to do it in. And I'm doing 38 movies now for a studio that's going to film them all in Louisiana.
Oh, my gosh. And they have the infrastructure and the personnel.
Oh, they've got studios. I represent a studio there. I represent people there. Projects are great. And then you've got a state like Georgia that, for whatever reason, if you put a picture of the Georgia peach in your credits, a picture, you get another 10%. So all these states, and when you add all these avenues of how to protect the investors' dollars, these are all different pieces.
Well, how much does Georgia give normally?
30% when you put the picture in.
Oh, wow, that's good. So they recognize how much money filmmakers bring in to their economy, right?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, California is so unfortunate that filmmakers don't stay in California. They get no help from the state of real meaning, and they leave. And then they look for states that value their business, where California no longer does for the independent filmmaker.
Right. All right, so we have state rebates. So in other words, when you are talking to an investor, let's say you're shooting in Florida, you can say that you've got 35% of the money is guaranteed to come back. So if you had a million-dollar budget, you could say that you've got $350,000 coming back, so you're only at risk for 65% of your investment, right?
You can, but not 100% of your budget may be in that state. Maybe you have to go out of your state for editing, maybe, you know, but yeah, for a general purpose, you spend $1 million in Louisiana, no matter where the people come from, you get between 30 and 35% back. And that includes everything. Okay, so it's a very fertile ground, and people shop states. People shop states, Carol, as you know in your funding book, which happens to be to anyone that's listening. Definitely get Carol's book on financing because it's a step-by-step basis. So, funding is the one question. But what people don't understand, Carol, is that when you start on a film project and you're starting to get thoughts about funding for your picture, you're in a development stage. That's the beginning stage. You're in a development stage. And development stage is like putting a foundation for a building. It's the foundation. It costs money. And if you're not prepared to spend between $25,000 and $50,000 in the development phase, then you're not going to get very far. You're going to be stuck in the development phase potentially forever.
Well, so let's cover what's in there. I know it's your legal fees and your private placement memorandum, et cetera. And what else is it that you need to get done first?
You're going to need a casting director. That's going to cost you a down payment. You're going to need a major producer. That could cost you some downstroke. You're going to need some consulting from someone. That could cost you something. You're going to need travel. You're going to have expenses in setting up your investment documents and the lawyer that's going to start working on helping you. So from a low point, it's $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
From a high point, depending on who you get, it's $50,000.
All right. So that's the first money in, and that's really the most important to get your foundation started, right?
All right. It's very important that people understand this is a business. It is a business. It runs by business principles. And if people think that they can get there through the development phase for basically free, then they're really wrong. There could be exceptions to that, but they're generally wrong.
Right. Very true. This is a business of film. I start my seminars with that because it's mostly creative artists who want to make films, and they have business.
Yeah, I mean, Carol, for example, at the Cannes Film Festival this last May, I moderated 7 industry panels that were streamed live throughout the world, and one of them was on funding. We're going to do that again at the Toronto Film Festival in September, and we're going to stream live all over the world panels, and one of them will be on funding. And what people have to understand, there's no one answer.
And, right.
And people have to understand that their story has to sell itself. Their screenplay has to tell a story that's got great marketability. It's really not for my family vacation in Cancun. It's got to be something that you can put out there that people want to see and hear about.
Exactly. The gentleman, Jeff Garden, who runs Writers Boot Camp, says that your first draft, when you complete that, you are 7% to completion. That's just the beginning. And I think he's right. You have to keep working on that script until it's so polished and such a good story that it will give you a return on investment for all those who are involved. And that's the secret, don't you think, Corky? A great story?
Yeah, you have to you take a look at these wonderful independent projects, and the independent movies, as you know, Carol, controls the industry. 7 of the 9 movies that were nominated for Best Picture last year at the Academy Award were wholly privately funded.
And
of the last 3 years, you put them all together, nominated for Best Picture, only 5 of the complete total were not substantially or totally privately funded. So the cinema, as we know it, belongs to the independent filmmaker and their wonderful stories. Look at the wonderful stories that were nominated for Best Picture last year. Look at Nebraska, Philomena. Look at Silver Lining Playbook. Look at all these wonderful, The Wolf of Wall Street, privately funded.
Yes.
American Hustle, privately funded.
Yes.
12 Years a Slave, privately funded.
Well, then the next question people ask is, where do you find these investors? And I know some producers Hollywood say, don't look in Hollywood for investors. Get outside of the big cities because there's plenty of people who would like to invest in films. Is that what you find from when you are working with your team, that money is outside of some of the major cities?
Every city in every state of the United States has got rich people and rich companies. And every city in every state outside of Los Angeles or the state of California would be thrilled to hear about a great project that's coming to their city or their state. So, yes, you are right. There are avenues. But the team has to find that person in that city that's going to shepherd their project that knows these people in that city. And that's not very hard to do. You could talk to accountants. You can talk to bankers. You could talk to the head of commerce in the city. It's big business. It brings a lot of money to the location. So these are things that we're going to talk about. As you know, Carol, I'm going to be in Los Angeles on July 24th. That's in a matter of 2 weeks because UBS Financial in Beverly Hills is sponsoring me and Rudy Langless to speak on legal and business pitfalls. And it's free and lunch is free, but I think it is it's filled from a capacity standpoint, but people can contact me if they want. It's free, and there's a free lunch. It's from 12:30 to 3 o'clock on the 24th. But I can meet with people if they want, and they're in Los Angeles on Friday the 25th or Saturday the 26th. I leave on the 27th to come back to Chicago. So filmmakers have to understand that their stories that are marketable, we're dependent on them making because we're in a business of telling these stories and we need their stories.
Exactly.
I'm doing the Miles Davis movie.
And
I'm doing it with major, not the Don Cheadle one. I'm doing one with Rudy Langless, who's on the panel with me. Rudy is a client of mine. Rudy Langless produced Hotel Rwanda, Hurricane, Sugar Hill, Redemption. I'm doing the Bob Marley movie with him and the Miles Davis movie with him. So these are producers that people need to meet.
Absolutely. This is a great opportunity. Well, first of all, Carkey does come to L.A. often, and he has great seminars, both online and in L.A., and so you can find out more about it, number one, through From the Heart. Our website carries information on Carkey. Plus, we post on the Roy Dean Film Grant all the information about his seminars when they're happening. But you can also get on his list for future events by what, Carkey, by emailing somewhere to get that information?
They can email me at Kessler, K-E-S-S-L-E-R, at D as in David, L as in Larry, E as in Egg, C as in Charlie.com, or they can call me. My direct line is 312-853-8448, and we do a huge panel, and we do a pitch session that you, Carol, were at during AFM in November,
yes.
And the winner of the pitch gets over $200,000 of free service in their movies, and our last three winners have their movies going forward, and then we do that at Sundance also.
That was the most interesting event. I mean, I took copious notes. I thought I knew a lot, but I got in there, and you had such a great panel that I had to borrow paper from the woman next to me, you know. It was so much fantastic information. Do you, you're still doing that this coming year in 2014?
We're doing AFM again. I mean, during AFM. It's not an AFM sanctioned event, but it's going to be during AFM. We're going to do it again. So people email me. I will tell them about it. Or you, Carol, when I get the site and we know the time, there's a very nominal cost, I think, of $25 or $35. And if you pitch your project, I think it's another 50 or 75. But the winner gets $1,500 and over $200,000 of free service from every member on the panel. Then the second place gets $750, and the third place gets $500. I've been blessed that every one of my clients for the last 3 years won. So I don't vote. So don't think that, but it just shows you the kind of projects that I pick out.
Yes, they were so good.
Let me just jump in here really quick. I just want to say that at the end of the show, we'll give out the email address for Corky and his phone number and his web address again, just in case you didn't have a chance to grab a pen when he was giving all that out. And Carol's website is fromtheheartproductions.com, and all that will be available at the end of the show as well.
Right. Yes, Karki, we have to put a page up on my website about your seminar and your other speaking engagements so we can keep it current. We'll do that because it's just so much information. You had a lot of people who were at your seminar during the AFM that didn't come to pitch. They came to learn. And I highly recommend it for that. You don't have to just be there to get money. You have to be there to learn how to come back the next time and do a pitch. There's so much to know in this industry. Okay, well, so questions. Let's go back about the Jobs Act because there's a few things I just wanted to follow up on.
Okay, go ahead.
You talked about accredited and non-accredited investors. So can you explain the difference in that?
Okay. To be an accredited investor, you need to have earned $200,000 or more over the last 2 years and expect to have the same in the year of investment, or if it's a joint investment, $300,000, or you have to have $1 million of assets excluding your personal residency. And that's for an individual. Those are the things that you need to have. And when I send out my investor questionnaire to investors, I ask them to verify that they're accredited and check a box. And now if we're going to do the Jobs Act of 2012, the verification I do, which is fine, is to have their accountants on the accountant stationery send me a letter or an email verifying that that person is accredited.
Oh, that's good. That's supporting information so that maybe there is some validity to it. That is a great way to do it. And you do that for the filmmaker. That's part of your services.
Right. So, but and Carol, if you want me to donate again 1 hour of free consultation or work again for the Carol Dean Foundation, I'm happy to do that.
Oh, thank you. That means so much to us. We really appreciate that. Things are changing so rapidly in this industry. But let me ask you, haven't you found that the expansion and the use of social networking and YouTube and all these wonderful things that we have now, don't you think that they really help filmmakers?
They do. But if you use Kickstarter or Indiegogo, it should be visual and not literal. And the problem is if you have a campaign, and these are social marketing, they're grants and they're donation, it's not an equity investment. But if you use them, it's a daily job. You have to look at it, see where it's going. Do you need to tweak it? It's really a day-to-day business that you monitor it. So it's not just putting it up there and just saying, oh, I'm not going to look at it. You got to look at it. You got to change it. But realize the less words you use, the better you are off.
Yes. Yes. Getting your point across succinctly. And it's the same old thing. It's the pitch, the log line. And sometimes you sell the sizzle on a film. It's more exciting. It's an exciting world, filmmaking, and an exciting business. And I really think that we've raised over $1 million on Indiegogo. So I know that a lot of the donations come from feelings. You to people more than to films. You really care about who's that person. Are they trustworthy? Are they talented? There's a lot of thinking and feeling going on when you are reading and listening to the pitch video. So the more honest, sincere, talented the person is, the easier it is, I think, for them to get money. But you mentioned that the SEC was still choosing Gateway, so I think that Indiegogo intends to be one of those platforms that can do fundraising.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're there to help you raise some money, not the entire money, but Mark, but okay, so let me know how I can help.
Okay.
You know, from time to time. So this is what we have to do. I mean, the filmmaker has to be smart, and their expertise is in filmmaking, and the creative mind has to meet the business / legal mind at some point in time, or they hit a brick wall.
Right. Right. This is very important. It is the business of film, and it's full of creative people, but they have found a balance between their creativity and their logical side. Okay, so building the team is an important thing. You talk about that in your seminars. What do you look for when you're building your team? You mentioned the titles, but do you want people who are really experienced in the field and are people who are dedicated to you and your success? Or how do you choose that person?
No. They have to understand that it runs by business principles. They have to understand that people are there to help you, and I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed to be surrounded by some of the best people from insurance, distribution, casting, sales reps, producers, and line producers and production managers who Academy Awards and various other things that I trust and that I'm blessed to have part of my team and my friends. And for the right projects, we all try to work together.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine that. And
so
I guess
we are a virtual studio.
Mm-hmm.
I represent a studio in Louisiana, in London, and in Toronto. And with that piece of the puzzle, we are, and I've set up a virtual studio. But there's a cost, and people have to understand that. Now my virtual studio extends to China, because I do business in China, and you know, Carol, I'm an adjunct professor at the Beijing Film Academy. So you have to start building your team and finding the greatest experts in the different aspects of certainly at the development phase and then moving forward.
Exactly. Well, let me just ask you about the average budgets of films being made right now. What is the budgets? How low are they or how high or what's going on?
Yeah, okay. Since I am very protective of the investor money that comes into my clients' projects, you cannot get a completion bond, which guarantees to an investor a completed film, even if it goes over budget. You can't get that unless your budget is close to or greater than $2 million.
Okay.
So it's very hard to protect the investor's dollars if your budget is too small, because there's nobody to protect the over budget items. So once I have a budget in the neighborhood or beyond $2 million, I can let the investors know that we can guarantee them a completed film, even if we go over budget. Carol?
So, Carol, are you still with us?
Okay. All right. Well, that's all right. Corky, go ahead and continue sharing what you were talking about, and Carol will get back on the line with us.
Yeah. Okay. So I said, okay. So we
were talking
about
building a team.
Yeah, I mean building a team. So we're like what I have set up is like a virtual studio. And
right.
When I get the right projects, we plug them into the other people that are part of my virtual studio. But they have to understand there's a cost, and their project has to be the right kind of project. So, for example, starting level, I read and provide oral business coverage on screenplays, but I'm not free. So don't come to me unless you really want me to start the journey with you going forward, because there's a cost of $875 for me to do that. I say that because I'm not going to read anybody's screenplay. I want to read and provide oral business coverage and move forward on good projects. So people should understand that people like Carol, people like you, Claire, people like you have in people there that really want to do that, like Stacy Parks does Film Specific. She's great, and her company's great, filmspecific.com. They're there to help you, and they're there to
mm-hmm.
guide you.
Yes, yes. And so as far as the team members that we're building for the film, what would be some of the different titles that we have not discussed yet?
Pardon?
What would be some of the titles of team members that we have not discussed yet to complete the list
really,
of team members?
We've really discussed them. A producer, a line producer, a casting director, and a lawyer. That's your beginning
great.
Team.
Okay, great. So that is the primary team. Great. Okay. That's what I was hoping that we had covered it all. And then, okay, now I know that there's another thing that is really, really important that Carol wanted to ask too. She was wondering about the 181, whether or not there's any chance at all that it might be reenacted.
I think that there's a possibility by the end of this year that it might, but I don't have such a great handle on it now to give a strong indication, but I'm continuing to try to work on it.
Okay, great. Yes, and then I'm sure that you'll keep us all posted on that as well.
Okay, so so that's what's going on. So if there's anyone that has questions, I think we can open it up now.
Yes, definitely. Let me just go ahead and get the call-in number out again. And that number, if you would like to call in and ask Corky some questions, he's available now. This is a good time to do it. It's 646-716-8600. Again, that is 646-716-8600. All right. And then now, Corky, there are some more questions that we have for you as well. And I know that Tom Malloy has talked about this before. He has talked about how filmmakers and producers are actually they're rewriting their scripts. Just so, like, say, for instance, a $3 million script, they're rewriting just to, you know, bring it down for close to $1 million just to get financing to start with. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you can't get a completion bond on a $1 million project. You can't. I'm happy to work on that, but how do you tell the investors how do you guarantee them they'll have a completed movie? If you go over budget,
right.
You can't. So that's the problem. And in fact, in the neighborhood of $3 to $5 million, films that get distributed in that range, over 90% turn a profit. That's the sweet spot where the marketing money meets the budget perfectly.
Great. Good. I think Carol has joined us again.
Yes, yeah, sorry. I was thinking that I was the only one left on the show, and I was giving your information, Corky. But I'm so happy to hear. 3 to 5 million is the sweet spot, and 90% get funded, and they do return the investment back.
Right. That's the sweet spot in the neighborhood. Could be 2.5. It could be 6, but in the neighborhood of 3 to 5.
Excellent. All right. Well, I just wanted to talk about you're going to Toronto this year.
Yeah.
You'll be there so people can find you, maybe Canadians. We have a lot of people.
I'm there from September 5th to the 11th. Doing, on Sunday, September 7th, 7 industry panels that are going to be streamed live all over the world, and people can ask questions. And I'm there from the 5th to the 11th. My cell number is 312-925-2110 if people are going to be at the Toronto Film Festival.
Okay, great. And then what about Sundance?
Sundance, I just booked all these houses where my clients are going to stay. I just secured 6 three-bedroom houses and 1 five-bedroom house for people to stay. And Sundance this next year is a week later. So it starts on January 21st and runs to the beginning of February. And I'm there from January 24th to the 29th. And on the 26th, we have our panel and we have our pitch session. And I host one of the biggest industry parties there is by default that Monday night.
Oh, how exciting. And where is that normally held?
Pardon?
Where is the party?
I hosted at my five-bedroom house that I rent.
Woo! What fun. So that's really up close and personal. They can come meet you and get to talk to you personally. That's a good one.
Right. People have to also understand that there are 5 major buyer festivals in the world each year. It starts each year with Sundance, then Berlin, then Cannes, then Venice, and then Toronto. But Sundance is the only one in the United States, and anybody in the independent film world that wants to further their meetings and their networking should go to Sundance. Matters not that you have a movie that's there. Matters not but going to Sundance is a way where you bump into people. You get invited to places. You meet people. My posse for Sundance has grown to be about 70 people. It's called Corky's Posse. But I've been a speaker during Sundance. I speak 3 times during Sundance. I speak at the Black House, which is exactly what it sounds like, where filmmakers who are African American filmmakers go to congregate, and I speak on a panel at the Black House. I do my panel and our pitch session one day, and then I speak to women in film.
Oh, how wonderful. Perfect. And so, okay. You'll be in Cannes. Right?
Well, I'll be in Cannes in 2015 again, yes.
May 15 again. All right. So these are very important things. And in the meantime, you'll be in L.A. and you'll be available for discussions. And I really think that people should not miss the AFM in L.A. and go to your seminar. It's great.
And, Carol, you will have the information when we lock it in. So anybody who wants to know about the panel and the pitch session we're doing during AFM should definitely go on From the Heart site and also or contact Carol.
Yes, absolutely. We'll set up a page, Corky, and make sure that it's all on there. So that sounds really good. Well, let's just, I wanted you to repeat your email address again for everyone who might want to find you. It's Kessler, K-E-S-S-L-E-R.
Yes.
At D like dog, L Larry E egg, C Charlie.com, right?
That's it. That's it. And my direct line is 312-853-8448. And cell is 312-925-2110.
Thank you so much for that information, Corky. We are just so honored to get to talk to you because you really know your stuff. You are the top guy in my book in the film industry. And I think this posse that you're talking about in at Sundance must be a lot of fun. You all hang out together and have a good time? Is that it?
We go to every networking evening event we can go to.
Oh, great. Well, you love to have a good time in life, so I'm sure that it's a lot of fun to be with you.
So keep me posted, and I don't know if you have any questions. Did anyone pop in yet?
No, but they'll be posting them probably. They can post them on our website at any time. On the Facebook page, the Roy Dean Film Grant Facebook page, and we'll either send them to you or we'll answer them. But you'll know about it, Corky.
Well, Carol, that sounds great.
There is one caller if we have time to take this call.
Sure.
Okay.
Are we good? Okay, great. Let me go ahead and... Hello, caller. You're on the line with Corky Kessler.
Hi, thanks. It's Mark calling from New York. Just a quick question.
Mark. I just got your email.
Yeah. How are you?
Okay,
quick question on the sweet spot, the 3 to 5 million range. Does that apply to a first-time director?
It applies. It's just a general of the thumb mark where you're really looking at, first of all, you can't get a completion bond unless you're in the neighborhood of $2 million, so you start with that. And then you take a look at where the marketing dollars meets the budget perfectly, and that's in the neighborhood of $3 to $5 million that get distributed. You look at Crazy Heart, you look at Blindside, you look at Little Miss Sunshine, you look at Philomena, you look at Nebraska. Those are all within that range.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've just often heard the first time in filmmakers, people don't want to go that high of a budget. They keep pushing it down, saying you need to make something lower first, which I disagree with, but it's a challenge.
Well, they can do it lower, Mark, but there's a risk to the investor.
Right.
As long as the investor is fine with it, it doesn't matter to me.
Okay, that was my question. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for calling. Thank you very much. Yes.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay, Corky. Well, we're going to wrap this up, and thank you very much for your kindness in sharing all this information with filmmakers.
Well, thank you, Claire. Thank you, Carol. And I look forward, Carol, to seeing your daughter on the 24th.
She'll be there. Don't worry. Take good care, Corky.
All right, thanks.
Be well, everyone.
Okay, take care. Okay, bye.
I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.